single property owner, Cypress Equities, paying for enhanced services? How'd that work out? What did it cost?
A couple of things. In reference to your first question, absolutely. And we recently became members of International Ranger Federation, so that will give us an opportunity to not only look within our nation, you know, national programs and local programs, but also internationally. So stay tuned. Holiday Park, one of the significant, I believe, takeaways from that was that when you put rangers and programming together, you see a tremendous change in the use of the park. That rangers alone do change the dynamic of behavior, not so positive behavior is displaced, but bringing that positive usage back up, very important having that programming component. Hassan did a lot of work with my predecessor in that. I don't know if you want to add something more specific.
When we looked at the issues that Holiday Park had previous to a ranger presence, there was a lot, it was a negative image of the park, even though it's in a beautiful area next to a mall around a lot of businesses. And a lot of people avoided walking through the park just because of the element they perceived was in the park. Once ranger presence was consistent on a daily basis and we provided programming and just a happy face for people to see, we saw people walking through the park that normally would walk around from the MAC station just to avoid going in the park because of who was in the park. And so it was great to see people really coming in, eating lunch in the park, spending time with the rangers, talking to the rangers, people really asking about the ranger program. People also inquiring how do they become a ranger? And so because they saw the work we did in the parks, they saw the impact we had, they saw the negative element that was in the park basically go away. And so we received a lot of just great compliments from the Portland police that work in that area because we were the eyes and ears there, a consistent presence, where we worked very closely with them, and some of the issues that they normally had to deal with were no longer an issue because there was a ranger presence in the park. So I do believe that just that presence alone and consistency does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. We do have a pilot program planned for this next summer as well, so our goal is to look at exactly what you said earlier, look at the data from police perspective and then our own data and compare it and see what kind of changes we will be able to actually measure in terms of decreases in crime and criminal activity. We did not do that for the pilot last summer.
Yeah. So how much did that program cost this summer? Last summer in Holiday Park, you remember?
Okay. I don't remember off the top. We'll get you that, though.
Later.
Yep.
So, you know, Janet Bebb's here, so we're going to invoke the spirit of Fred Kent for a moment, and that is most people know the story of Bryant Park in New York, right? Surrounded by a high berm, lots of trees, big grass lawn in the middle. It was drug deal central. Fred Kent, under the Lindsay administration, removed a lot of the trees, lowered the berm, added entrances, and put 1,000 folding chairs in the park. Behavior changed radically overnight. Mm-hmm. Notice that there was no mention of police presence, rangers or otherwise. So I hear the voice of Charles Jordan in my ear, and I want to pose a question to the Parks Commissioner and your staff for later. Love the Rangers program. Want more of you. I stopped by Holiday Park with my wife and played ping pong on National Night Out. Mm-hmm. Here's the tough call. Would you rather have a rec worker out there supervising ping pong, or would you rather have a ranger if we're going to put more effort into Holiday Park? I know what Charles Jordan would say. Sorry, Rangers. He would say, put that rec worker out there, give those kids something positive to do, and you'll never need the ranger. Mm-hmm. So the principle that Fred Kent demonstrated in Bryant Park is still true, which is positive activity drives out negative activity. So I want to pose this fairly rhetorical question now for when we get into the budget process and make choices about how to enhance the level of programming in parks, because the right solution to a park with unsavory activity might not always be more rangers.
Mayor, can I just respond to one part of that? Because I actually was involved in the Bryant Park transformation, and I think the one thing you left out is that the city of New York decided to privatize Bryant Park. It is not a public park. And just to give you an example, there is one of the safest restrooms in the city of Portland in Bryant Park, and that's because it has an attendant. Right. The reason Bryant Park is safe is they have actually private security force. One of the things I was going to ask our friends in terms of data is when you follow through on the mayor's request for data about the ratio of rangers to parks or park space or whatever the national best practice is, which I think is a very important data. If you could drill down and ask the question, how many of those rangers are publicly funded and how many are privately funded? And I'll give you an example. New York City has made a judgment that they are going to allow businesses to pay for rangers in Manhattan parks. Now, there's an equity component to that because the fact is if a major company is located across from a park, that they can afford to pay for a ranger. But if you're in a low-income section of the Bronx, you know, how do you have the same model? So it raises equity concerns. But a lot of the rangers that you see that are full-time dedicated to parks in Manhattan are actually paid for by private companies. And you know that because as you enter the park, there's a sign saying the Gap company is paying for this ranger or whatever. So I would also ask you to consider to what extent in those ratios at peer cities are the rangers publicly funded or privately funded. And I'm not advocating for privately financing, but for example, at Holiday Park in Northeast Portland, Dan Biederman, who is the gentleman who actually did Bryant Park, has come out to Portland, hired by the company that's revitalizing the mall, and he wants to bring a Bryant Park model. I think that's great. The only problem is we can't do that in every part of the city. It's additional resources because there's a public-spirited business that wants to do that, but that doesn't help Commissioner Fritz build parks in East Portland or maintain those parks. So I think the data, I'd also like to see the ratios, but I'd like to also be able to separate out the privatization. And in New York City, there are now, I don't know, 24 business improvement districts, and almost all the public spaces, all the major parks have a private partner. And you can do that in a city that has that kind of wealth. That's not currently our model. And I'd love to see more private support for our parks. But if it is something that we're going to fund publicly, let's also figure out how we can afford it and what is the right model.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. That's a very helpful framing. I'd like to respond to the mayor's question. I would absolutely go for more rangers, and I'll tell you why. When we went to Shaver Elementary to announce that Beach Park was going to be built next door to their school, I got up there and I'm explaining that I'm in charge of the city. I make decisions for the city and you know, polite applause. The rangers got up in their uniforms talking about how they were going to be present in the park. Every single kid afterwards, there was a conversation about what do you want to do when you grow up. I want to be a ranger. I want to be a ranger. Mm-hmm. So by being uniformed and being in green uniforms, and you know what we heard today was a great respect and even love for our ranger program. That's unusual for people who have to deal with some behaviors that are not right. And I think that I agree with your question is when will we know when we have enough? I know right now we do not have sufficient. So that we shouldn't wait to figure out what's enough, because if we did, I think the number would be overwhelming. So thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you to the rangers who are here today in support of this report. I would like you all to, and if the cameras, we don't have our monitors going on here, but if the cameras could just pan to the front row here, this reflects the beauty of our city. The people that we serve are people reflected in the rangers that are here today, and I'm really proud of you. Commissioner Fish, you were the birth parent of this expanded program. I've been honored to be the adoptive parent of it, and Galena has done an amazing job since she was appointed to be the manager, following in the footsteps of Art Hendricks, who is now the equity and inclusion manager for parks. And these things don't just happen. Galena's experience with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. We're talking about building community through parks, which is one of the reasons that I feel so honored to be in charge of the Parks Bureau. So to summarize, we have only 14 rangers on duty for over 200 parks. 12 of them are assigned west of the river because of the funding sources. So the parks east of the river are underserved. We have a few options. We have the status quo, which leaves the glaring inequity and underserved. We have more flexibility from historical commitments to patrolling forest parks in the Central Business District, that then would leave those areas underserved. And we heard from River Place that the temporary funding there is much needed and appreciated. And we can add additional funding in FTE. Now, what I have in the Parks Bureau budget is a conversion of seasonal rangers into full-time rangers, $80,000 to create six permanent positions.
$80,000 of ongoing?
Yes. And that's for six positions. And that's because of the great work done by Laborers 483 in the formation of the union and the great work done by Human Resources to set the salaries and the benefits of the seasonal rangers pretty close to the full-time rangers, because essentially they do very similar work. But the offset that we were required to put into the parks budget, because we weren't allowed to just ask for new ongoing, the offset is to have fewer seasonal rangers. So to be clear, that request does not expand services. In fact, in some ways, it will decrease service.
Well, that was that. In fairness to you, that request was made before the city announced they had a $31 million surplus in this budget to carve up. So
right.
I think
so we now
that's
have
a good issue for the council to grapple with.
We now have additional ongoing resources, which I would hope we would have a discussion on the principles of how we're going to decide how to allocate those resources. I would like, so what we really need is seven more full-time rangers in addition to the seasonal rangers. We have done the analysis of what is the coverage citywide and what do we need in the winter. Clearly, the challenges in the winter are of more people sheltering outside, not having enough shelter space for them, and then how do the rangers help them to live where they are. And we are going to be having a contract with Right to Dream 2 to further improve our training of rangers on how to interact with people living outside. I appreciate Hassan and Galina working on that. Mm-hmm. We need, you know, we have the city that we have, not the city that we wish we have. We're working towards the city that we wish we had. In the meantime, we need to give the rangers the compensation and the tools to do what they can, given that many of the 2,000 people living outside in Portland are living outside in parks.
I'm a little concerned, Mayor, we're going to lose a quorum. Because I know you have a commitment coming up, and we have still
I do, but I have a couple more questions. So I do want to get them on the record. One, you're going to be preparing a business plan. Please include in that what you envision as the role of volunteers.
Absolutely.
In addition to rangers, okay? Want to see that. Don't have to see it now. Secondly, when we get to implementation and budget issues, we currently have an intergovernmental agreement with the Multnomah County Sheriff for $98,000. Is that in your packages as a proposal to continue that?
It isn't currently right now.
So that will go away at the end of this fiscal year?
Correct.
So we probably need a package to come forward from the Parks Bureau to continue that intergovernmental agreement with the Sheriff's Office, unless you have some other solution for how that service is going
to
be.
It's a do not to exceed, so it could carry forward into the next fiscal year, depending on how much we've utilized it.
Okay, well, let's take a look at that, because if the sheriff is backing our play, obviously there are people in the community, and I agree with them, that don't want that to go away. I'll save the rest of my comments for when we vote. I have some more instructions for the budget proposals.
Great. Thank you very much.
So, Mayor Hales, I move the acceptance of the report.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call of the three of us, anyway.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, most of all, to our parks rangers and the work you do on the front lines every day. I'm really proud of the work that you do. And thank you, Galina Burley and Hassan Athari, for preparing this report. It's excellent. And thank you, Commissioner Fish, for really starting this program and giving it the attention that it deserved, even during the course of the recession. Let it be noted that we funded extra services through the Ranger program during the recession, and it's now paying benefits. So thank you, everyone. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to start by thanking Andy Jansky for this. I archive all of my son's art and schoolwork, and he thinks I'm nuts. And so I really appreciate this. I can take this home and say, this is why we do it, because someday you'll want me to reclaim something you did when you were younger, and I love that. I am so proud of the work of the Rangers, and I want to echo what the commissioner in charge said, thanking our team here for their excellent presentation and thanking the men and the women who wear the uniform. While the presentation was going on, I had my office pull a few things from the internet because I want to be reminded about a different conversation we had in 2011. And I pulled some of the press coverage, and it was pretty scathing when this issue first came to council. We had some very big critics. There were some very caustic editorials. And there were a lot of people scratching their heads saying, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Why shift away from the clean and safe model? Why expand the Ranger program? And one of the things I learned through that exercise was we need to do a better job articulating the why. And so we did, and we took the challenge, and we articulated the why. And when we were finished, we had the whole community telling us we were on the right track. And that wasn't because we were making the case any more thoughtfully. It's because they were experiencing what it meant to have Rangers performing these functions, building relationships. In effect, I would say, Mayor, this is the essence of community policing, except they don't carry a gun. And instead of arresting people, they build relationships, and they go upstream, and they prevent things from happening. And we started hearing from people all over the city saying, I know who my Ranger is. I have their phone number. I can call them when there's a problem. And we hired great people to lead this effort. In fact, I think I could only find one story that was positive, and it was from the Mercury. And Dennis has now gone over the dark side. He's over at another newspaper. But when he was at the he did a story saying the city succeeds with gentler touch in the parks. And what he did is he interviewed all the stakeholders, and this is in 2012, and they, to a person, said this program was making a difference. Law enforcement, business, community, everyone was saying this was making a difference. You are the ambassadors doing great work in our community. And we have a basic principle in this city, which is when people demonstrate that they are providing a valuable basic service and they do it as efficiently as you do, I think we are compelled to support your mission. I think we're compelled to. This is a basic service, and you've made a case today that you have exceeded our expectations. So I think we have to invest in your success, and I will look forward to working with Commissioner Fritz and my colleagues in the budget to do that. And finally, someday I hope to get a hat that says Ranger on it, but I'm reminded that until I give Sam Sachs my head size, he can't order one, and I am prepared to pay for it. All of us spend a lot of time out in the community, and when we're in our parks, particularly at official events, it is a point of great pride when our Rangers are there with us and when they are doing such a great job and seeing how they interact with the public. This is our chance today to thank the team for the report, thank the men and women who do the hard work for their service, and I hope have this council commit to continuing to improve the terms and conditions of the folks who serve. And one final note. In 2011, when we were getting a lot of flack for talking about doing something different, Commissioner Fritz stood shoulder to shoulder with me. And everything we did, she supported. And then when she became the Parks Commissioner, she put this program on a stronger foundation. And she ensured that the men and women who work for the city got to choose the representative of their choice, and through the bargaining process, secured better terms and conditions of employment. So I thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for being such a strong supporter of this program. And as long as I'm on the council, I will be a strong champion of what you are trying to do. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Well, first, I have to start with two warnings for Commissioner Fish. First of all, we should check the city code, Commissioner, because I know it's illegal to impersonate a police officer, and it might be illegal to impersonate a ranger. So before you put that hat on, we should make sure that you won't get arrested for that. Secondly, as someone whose sons are older...
I will not be sending a letter to the Iranian governor.
All right, don't
Iranian
do that.
Government on any nuclear deal, Mayor.
Please don't, yeah. On your own email, either.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Secondly, as a father of sons who are older than Chapin, I'm sorry to report that you can take this home all you want, but it won't convince your son that you're not crazy until the testosterone starts to wear off around age 25. So let me go directly to some issues here. Sometimes I'm flummoxed in this role of being a community leader because you say things and you think you say them clearly, and then people pick them apart and say, well, what he really meant was, so I'll really try to do this. I'm not smart enough to do that. I want our folks from the press to know that. They probably already do. I'm not smart enough to not say what I mean, so I'm going to say what I mean. I love the Rangers program. I want to see more Rangers. I want to pay them properly, and we should have more of them for full time. No argument. about those issues. But,
before
we get to simply funding more rangers with the money we have, we got some things to work out. The sheriff is backing our program right now. What is Lightning's right? We got to sort out the question, and this is partly my job as I sit down with the county chair and figure out who does what. We've gotten through the last couple of city-county budgets by getting a little more clarity about whose lane is which. And frankly, we've fuzzed this one up again because of an urgent situation on the docks and the river that required the rangers' help, and we had to pay for it in order to get it. So that's an issue to put on the list for Chair Kefouri and I and others to talk about. But we got to figure that one out before we just write checks to solve problems. Secondly, I am not suggesting that we privatize parks when I bring up the question of the Holiday Park example. But we have three business improvement districts in Portland in which property owners tax themselves to pay for enhanced services. I think we have three. We have the Downtown Clean and Safe District, and we have two transportation management associations, one of which is in the Lloyd District. Seattle has 28 BIDs. Let me say that again. Our city, the same size as Portland, 150 miles north of here, has 28 such districts in which businesses tax themselves extra to pay for enhanced public services. I will be very favorably inclined, I'll say this sentence as clearly as I can, I will be very favorably inclined towards budget proposals which leverage other funds in addition to the momentary good fortune of us having more of our own. I will be very favorably inclined towards having BIDs and other localized revenue measures pay for enhanced local services. So I want those who want more to help more. I think Cypress Equities demonstrated that there's capacity in the Lloyd District and probably elsewhere to ask property owners to help fund enhanced services in places where we don't now. I think if you look at the situation in the Central East Side, you would reach the same conclusion that I've reached, which is it's time for a Central East Side Business Improvement District to fund enhanced services there. So I'm going to be pushing that idea, and I want us to not simply rush to pay for services elsewhere in the Central City that people in the Downtown Clean and Safe District are paying for through a BID. I hope I've been clear about that. So I will be very interested in budget proposals which rely on those principles of leverage, because good times mean others have more resources, not just the city general fund. Great work so far. More conversations to come. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay. Good work, everybody. Let's move on.